Well, tonight we're going to be finishing up the book of 2 Peter. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter and chapter 3. And we'll kind of wrap things up and just give a few words of encouragement here as we go through the last few verses of chapter 3. With that said, if you'll please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, I'll read out loud. You can follow along in your Bibles there. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I'm just going to read from verses 14 to 18 here as we finish up this chapter and this study here in the book of 2 Peter. Peter writes and says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the errors of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." We want to finish up here, and we've talked about many different things, of course, going through the scriptures. But you know what? Beginning in verse 11, going down through verse 18, Peter's just saying, look, as the coming of the day of the Lord is at hand, and as it approaches, we need to be Christians above all things. And we need to be about the Lord's work. We need to be mindful of this kind of thing. He says, you know, like in verse 11, things like, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved." We talked about this. What manner of persons ought ye to be? And listen, ladies and gentlemen, all of us need to ask ourselves that question each and every day. What manner of person am I going to be today? Am I going to be a Christian living for the Lord? Am I going to be a backslider and live for myself? And so we've got to understand that. And then we also need to be a Christian with anticipation. He says in verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. And we talked about praying and preaching and soul winning and come quickly, Lord Jesus mentality, where we are actually doing everything we can to maybe make the day of the Lord come faster. That's what that word hasting stands for. And so you understand that's the attitude that Peter's trying to stir up. And think about this. In these Christians of that day, we're talking hundreds of years ago, right? And so he was saying, look, we need to be ready because Christ might come in our... They really thought that Christ might come in our lifetime. I believe even some of the apostles thought that, you know, and Peter and James and John and these guys that are preaching, and even Paul and his preaching, I think they really thought Christ was coming back soon. And maybe even John, as he had seen many of the other disciples pass away or be martyred, if you will, he probably had the same thought there on the Isle of Patmos as he received the revelation. So you understand that all these things, they were real to these Christians of this time. And listen. So much more should it be for us all these hundreds of years later. And so he goes on and he talks about these things. And so then we get to this area here. And Peter never stops warning the believer. And listen, as a preacher, I can't help but never stop warning you of the things that we need to be warned of. Listen, we're not supposed to be ignorant of the devil and his devices. By the way, we're not supposed to be ignorant of the end times. God's given us prophecy. He's told us what types of things to look out for so that we can be ready. And you know what? Just as much as I do at home as a father for my children, I feel like I'm a broken record. How many of you parents feel like you're a broken record? Amen. Okay. And you say, I'm always telling these kids they should know this by now. I think God's sitting in heaven saying the same thing. I've been telling these children. I even gave them a book. And they still don't remember. You know, they still don't follow it. You know, I try to understand. And I just maybe with some long suffering and patience, which I don't always have a lot of. But that's where we are, Christians. So he says, look at verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's kind of where we ended last week, and we talked about these things. But he says, look, we need to understand that this is where we are in these last days, and we need to keep moving forward for Christ. We need to be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now look at verse 15. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. If we think about this and understand what he's talking about, I want you to understand that with the gospel and with God, he is long-suffering. All right? By the way, that's a good trait for God to have. Because you know what? We've seen at times in the scripture where God didn't exercise long suffering. By the way, he can do that. Okay? Or you say, well, the long suffering was kind of short. Well, that goes with the term long suffering. It's not a determined amount of time. All right? But I want you to understand, he's telling us that there is room for people to be saved. Think about this. Peter didn't really, I don't think Peter knew that there would be a 2024. And I didn't think Peter knew that millions and millions of people would come after him reading these scriptures and hearing these things, and Christ still hasn't come. You understand that God is willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's long suffering is extended to us. And sometimes people don't understand that. How many of you understand the long suffering of God? We don't understand it. We try to grasp it, but we really don't understand. And so as he says here, make sure that we are accounting that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Then he says this, he goes into this thing here and he says, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Then he goes into verse 16 and says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood. So he's basically telling him, look, don't discount the long suffering of God. Don't discount the mysteries of the scriptures. Realize that God has given us these things and allowed us to go through and have these things and go through these times, and he still wants us to be the Christians that we should be. He says, take account of these things. And you see, because he goes on to say, and he's trying to help them, there are some that get frustrated. There's some that get complicated. There are some that get sidetracked and they wrestle with these ideas. They wrestle. By the way, think about this. Some people wrestle with eternal security. They say, well, it just can't be that way. It just, one of the things they say is it just can't be that easy. But listen to me. It's not for us to decide what God has given us and what God has said. And so they get off track. And by the way, this is how other types of churches get started, or false doctrines and false religions and such and so forth. It's because these people wrestle with these things and they don't take into account the hardness of the scriptures. But listen, folks, as a pastor and as I study these things, I've had some conversations with some of you. Some of these things are hard to understand. And a lot of them, sometimes I'll just say, you know what? You know what? It could be the way you say, and it could be the way I think, but in the end, guess what it amounts to? A hill of beans. All right? And that's about it. And does it change anything as far as heaven or soul winning or salvation or no. So you know what? Don't get derailed. Don't get sidetracked on these things. He says some of these people They do this to their own destruction. By the way, that's what happens when you get sent down a rabbit hole. You know what you end up doing? Getting destructed. That's what or distracted, one of the two, right? But the same thing, if you will. So it's important that we understand what Peter's trying to say. He says, look, don't get wrapped up in all this stuff. He says, take an account. He says, account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom hath given unto him, hath written unto you. And we need to understand that God has given us the account of salvation. By the way, is salvation difficult? No. And does God want people to be saved? Yes. So guess what? The long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Because by the way, do we deserve to be saved? No. And do you suppose that, think about this, do you suppose that God might be, now I'm going to try to humanize God, which is something you probably really ought not to do. But listen, do you think God sometimes gets frustrated why we're not getting saved sooner than we are? Or not following the scriptures like we should as a babe in Christ? And, you know, I know he doesn't get frustrated, but just think about it for a second. You know, wow. Right? No wonder he's long-suffering. Because we're hard to work with. And we're hard-headed. And we make silly decisions. And we go off on silly tangents and all these things. But listen, God has given us salvation. And the Apostle Paul was an advocate for preaching the gospel. And the simple truth of the gospel. And you know what? All along, there are people that are trying to undermine these things. He wrote to us about the false teachers, right? Peter did. He wrote to us about people that will try to lead us astray. Bring in those old wives' fables. Bring in those other things that aren't true according to scriptures, these false teachings. And he remember back in chapter 2, he talked exclusively about those people and that God will judge them. So the bottom line is, and this is what I want you to think about tonight. I want you to focus and look at verse 17. So he says the things he says in verse 14, and in verse 15, and in verse 16. And then he gets to verse 17. He says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. Okay, he says, seeing that ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now, it's no coincidence, at the beginning of King's Kids this year, and Track Club, I decided to go through Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm going through just some simple phrases in Proverbs chapter 4, and it's no coincidence that I went through verse 5. So take your Bibles, go over to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5. I've been going through this for the past couple of weeks, phrase by phrase with the kids. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5, Solomon writes and says, get wisdom, get understanding. All right, those are two great things, right? And so what Peter says, look, you're supposed to know these things. And he says, take an account of these things. And he says that you know these things before. He said, beloved, you know these things. Paul taught them to you. He wrote to you about them. He was in your churches. He probably led you to Christ. I've written to you about these things. I wrote you a letter in 1 Peter. And now I'm writing you again here in 2 Peter. And I'm giving you these things. So he says, get wisdom, get understanding. And then Solomon says something very profound. He says, forget it not. Hang on to it. Okay, don't let it go. Make sure you keep those things. By the way, that goes with what Peter's saying here. He says, look, lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own step. In other words, you let go of it. You don't retain it. You don't keep it. You don't hang on to it. And then Solomon says something, again, profound. He says, neither decline, or if you will, turn away from the words of my mouth. Now, you understand that Peter addressed this. He said, look, some of these were Christians. But now they've forgotten. They've turned totally away from God. And he says, you may be led away with the air of the wicked and fall, or if you will, if you want to use this word here, you can, decline. Decline from the words of truth that you have in front of you, that you've been given, that you've been told, that you've been taught, that you've been preached to about. He says, don't let them go. And then the key is in verse 18, but grow. I told the kids tonight, if you want to heed what Solomon says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, let not my words decline, right? Don't let them decline. He says, look, how do we not do that? We continue to grow. If you stop growing, what are you gonna start doing? Decline. So from the day you're born again to the day you draw your last breath, Christian, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Continuing to grow, building wisdom upon wisdom, building understanding upon understanding, building principle upon principle, line upon line, precept upon precept. We're supposed to keep pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Because once we stop, we let some things slip. We start backsliding. We start declining if we're not pressing forward. We've got to keep up the fight. Now, just a few things. Go over to Matthew chapter 15, if you would, please. And we're going to look at some of these things that he talks about. These people that they don't understand, or they're unstable. They said they're unlearned and unstable. They rest with these things, or they wrestle with these things. It says, as they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. Look at Matthew 15. If you think this is something new, it's not. Jesus dealt with this in his time. Are you there in Matthew? Look at chapter 15. Look at verse 3. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 3. Look what it says. He says, but he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? You know who wrestled with the scriptures? The Pharisees. Hey, by the way, if you go back to John chapter 3, what did Jesus ask Nicodemus? Nicodemus, aren't you a master of Israel? Don't you know these things? Nicodemus, you're supposed to know the word of God. By the way, Paul, in his own admission, being a Pharisee of the Pharisees, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, he had to learn these things. He knew them. He says, how is it that you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? He says, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited me, and honor not his father and mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. He says, ye hypocrites. You understand that when people don't understand the scriptures, they kind of make their own way. Or they make up their own ideas, their own philosophies. That's why I've always promised to tell you that when something is my opinion. Because I don't know everything. I know that's a shock to you, but I don't know everything. And by the way, I don't pretend to know everything. But I want to know more. And we ought to want and have a desire to study, if you will, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what we need to get to. So we need to beware of being unstable. We need to beware, as he says, Peter says here, I need to get back over there. He says, beloved, let me get my spot. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware. He says, don't ever let your guard down. Don't fall into this instability. Don't let your steadfastness falter. Stay strong. Stay on the foundation of the Word of God. Don't get off of it. You know, there are things in Scripture that are hard to be understood. Don't forget that there are many disciples that left Jesus' side because the things that he was saying were too hard for them to understand. Don't leave the church. Don't leave the Lord. Don't leave the right kind of place just because you don't understand something. Just trust God that he knows. And by the way, I was taught, and I'll continue to champion this cause, where the Scriptures are silent, don't be dogmatic. Just don't. It's not worth it. Because you could be wrong. Why would you want to do that to people? Well, bless God, this is what the Scripture says. It is. Well, listen, if it does, then I'm for that. But if it doesn't, I'm not for that. Because now you're coming up with your own traditions, just like the Pharisees did, and you're leading people against God. Why would you want to do that? I don't want to be caught on that side of it. Do you? No way. So we've got to be careful about these unstable things and these people that are unlearned. They're unstable. They wrestle these things, and they wrestle with then they start bringing questions upon other scriptures, by the way, that are not so difficult. And they cast doubt. By the way, who likes to cast doubt? The devil. Oh, by the way, should we all say a famous quote from the devil? Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat. Huh? Hello? He loves to cast doubt and question God's word. By the way, when he tempted Jesus, he used scripture. The devil loves to do that. Oh, he loves it. And by the way, these people, they fall into this stormy waters and troubled seas to their own destruction. Over in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes about this, and he says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. He says, yet not with the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. By the way, with this passage, this is verses 6 through 16 of 1 Corinthians 2. Think about that statement for just soak that in for just a second. If the princes of this world have known these things, they wouldn't have crucified Christ. Right? I mean, isn't that wild? How many of you have thought about that before? The devil was claiming victory by nailing Jesus to the cross and getting him in that tomb. Was it victory? Oh no, it was sure defeat. Think about what Paul says here. He says, look, if they would have known these things, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Isn't that amazing? I don't know. That verse just throws me for a loop. I mean, that's just wild. Then he goes on to say this. He says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, this is capital S Spirit, this is Holy Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. He says, brethren, You know these things. Beloved, you know these things before, but beware. Lest ye also, he says, with the being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And then he admonishes them, but grow in grace. By the way, if you continue to grow in grace, you're going to be less and less affected by these unstable people. You're going to be less and less affected by the things which unlearned people and unstable people wrestle with, and you should. You know, there are some things that when I hear them, they don't even bother me anymore. Because I've decided, you know what? I don't understand those. Number two, I don't need to understand those until they don't affect me. I'm not, you know, pricked in my admiration. Ooh, I wonder, what about that? That's interesting. You know, so I hear some of these things that people say, well, you know what? Doesn't affect salvation, doesn't affect what I'm doing in this world, so I don't need to worry about that. I've settled that. And you know what? I've studied some of these things out, some of these wild accusations and wild ideas and these errors of the wicked, if you will, if you want to call them. And I'm like, you know what? That's not worth my time. I don't need to worry about those things because I've got something sure that I can trust in and I can follow, and I don't need my steadfastness derailed. I want to keep growing in grace. I want to keep growing in the Lord, and I want to be the Christian that I need to be. Christians, we've got to be careful because these unlearned and unstable people, they are trying to derail Christians. And they're going to cast doubt. By the way, one of the things recently you may understand, other religions do this. They start attacking the infallibility of our King James Bible. And they say, well, what about this, where this king is mentioned in this passage, and then he's at this age, and then he's mentioned over here at this age. That's a common one, folks. Or I've heard of others, and some of these are really easy, especially if you know math. Well, you know, when this is written, it says this number about this, and then when this is written, it says a different number. And the King James Bible is mistranslated. No, you're just stupid at math. I'm sorry. I can't help that. I mean, I can try to teach you, but I don't know if you want to learn. But these people, and by the way, Peter spent a lot of time in chapter 1 and chapter 2 telling us about these false teachers and these false prophets. But he says, Christians, we've got to stay on the ready. We learned them before. We know these things from before. We need to always beware. Because guess what? The devil's not going to quit. These false prophets are not going to quit. They're not going to go away. By the way, our Bible tells us that they're going to get worse and worse as we see this day approaching, this day of the Lord. It's not going to get better. Our natural man says our world is getting better. Okay? Is the right way to pronounce it vehemently? Okay? I like vehemently better. I think I'm adding a syllable, but I'm vehemently opposed to that phrase. It's not. We're getting worse, folks. We're not getting better. Things are getting worse, not getting better. By the way, I think I'd rather go back to the 1850s. Forget technology, computers, microchips, trash all of it. Let's go back to a horse and a plow and grow our own food. I mean, hallelujah. Who's with me? Come on. You're all Texans. Let's do it. Sorry, Brother Burkett, we get rid of T.I. That's one of those thorns in the flesh for you, isn't it, though? Maybe. He's not going to say, his boss might be watching. Yeah. No. I mean, just hang it all, right? I mean, forget it. Things are so much more simpler back then, seems like. I don't know. We've made things very complicated. But anyways, you have to understand that this is the course of this world. Over in James, we studied the book of James several months ago. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not man that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And then he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know how we stay single-minded? Right here. The mind of Christ. We stay single-minded by being true to the Word of God. And listen, we've got to realize, we've got to remember what Paul said to Timothy. He said, Timothy, you know of whom you've learned these things. Don't you, listen, be careful. This next year, I think I'm going to be encouraging you to continue to study the Word of God. But be careful who you're learning from. And by the way, there are some teachers out there where some of the things they teach are good and some of the things are not. You gotta sort through it. And you gotta be willing just to toss out the bad stuff. Just throw it over your shoulder. I mean, just get rid of it. And listen, you've got to be careful how we go about these things, because the devil is so subtle. He is so subtle. And by the way, he is very tenacious. That's a good word. He doesn't stop. He'll just keep coming at you. It's kind of like these elections, you know. A city or a county or a place will vote down something, and it feels like the next election cycle, here's that thing again, and we got to vote it down again. Oh, and by the next election cycle, oh, here it is again, and we got to vote it down again. You know, don't you just get tired of it? I think there should be some kind of rule where if it gets voted down so many times, you just can't bring it up anymore. Who's up for that? I want that. Yeah, absolutely. It's like, come on. How many times do we have to defeat this thing? Don't you feel that way about your flesh? Don't you feel that way about the devil? Don't you feel that way about this old wicked world? I mean, how many times do I have to mortify the deeds of the flesh? They keep coming back. I'm tired of it. The devil just won't leave me alone. By the way, you ought to take that as a badge of honor. Because if he starts leaving you alone, maybe you're not serving God like you should be. Well, come on. All right, be steadfast in the Lord's work. Here's a few verses of encouragement for you. John 9:4 says this, I must work the works of him that sent me, Jesus said, while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. We need to be steadfast and faithful, knowing that the day of the Lord is at hand. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. By the way, what is that word abounding akin to? Growing grace. Okay? They're very, very closely related. He says, abounding, what? In the work of the Lord. So he says over here, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's how we're supposed to be. He says, don't fall from your own steadfastness. Don't quit the work. He says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Till the day you die, or till that trumpet sounds, we ought to be making strides to grow in the Lord. In Hebrews 3:12-15, it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. By the way, doesn't that sound like beware? Beware. He says, for we are made to be partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Obviously talking about Moses and the children of Israel and the time that they went through. 1 Peter 5, we closed out 1 Peter with this. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant. By the way, doesn't that sound like beware? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's what we ought to look for. And that's what we ought to long for. To grow in the grace, in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then Peter ends it out and says, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And listen, that's what we ought to be living for. The glory of God. Glory now and glory forever. Doesn't God deserve the glory now? Shouldn't God receive the glory in my life now? Listen. When we're saved, we have a new life to live in Christ to bring glory to Him. Now. Here. And even to have this lost world glorify God because of our life. You know, that's how it should be. I mean, think about the examples we have in the Scriptures. People like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. People like Daniel. Right? People like Joseph. Where heathen kings actually recognized God because of their testimony. And they even said to their countries, hey, we're going to recognize the God of the Hebrews. We're going to recognize these guys' God. By the way, don't you diss this guy's God, because he'll put you under. You know what I mean? They feared Him and they realized, even pharaohs and even heathen kings recognized God and gave glory to God because of the testimony of a believer. That's how our lives need to be. Glory now. By the way, regardless of whether we bring glory to God now, we're going to be bringing glory to Him in heaven one day. So why not do both? Why not now and forever? It should be that way for us. We ought to want to bring glory to God by growing in grace and growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how it should be for us. We ought to desire that. We ought to want that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul writes and says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. He says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. What is Peter trying to do? Edify. Comfort. Help them to grow. Help them to be the kind of Christians they need to be. That's what Paul wanted for them. That's what Peter wanted for them. That's what the apostles wanted for them. That's what the preachers of the churches wanted for these people. They wanted them to be successful. They wanted their lives to be bringing glory now and forever to God. Ephesians chapter 4. Why don't you go ahead and turn over there. Verses 11 through 16. He says, you've known these things before, verse 17 of our text. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. Remember what Paul teaches here in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. This is our vocation, folks, the local church. Think about this. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? Why did he give us these people? Why did he give us these ministers? Why did he give us these men of God and the word of God that they're reading from and teaching from and preaching from? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. When? How long? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That, here it is, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. So what is that? Unlearned and unstable people that rest with the Scriptures. He says, no longer children tossed to and fro. Remember, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. We're no longer children. We're no longer babes in Christ. We're growing. We're learning. We're being edified. We're being perfected. being brought into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. He says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What is that? Being led away with the air of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's what God wants for us. To become that perfect man, that complete person. And by the way, when are we complete? When we're like Jesus. Now, this is again my personal opinion, and I promised you I'd always tell you this, but I don't think any of us human beings are going to get there. I just don't. Just as much as I don't think that anybody can completely exhaust the knowledge of this book, I don't think it's humanly possible. But that doesn't mean you can't try. That doesn't mean that you can't press toward that mark like Paul said. And by the way, Paul knew that he had come to the end of his course. He'd finished his course. He'd kept the faith. He knew that the end of his life was coming to a close. But by the way, till his dying breath, he continued to grow in grace. And he continued to bring glory to God, and we ought to as well. Even though we may not reach that perfection, we're going to die trying. And that's how it ought to be with us. Till our dying day, or until that rapture trumpet sounds, that's how we should be. One more verse of encouragement for you. And this is a reminder from 1 Peter. Peter says this: if we're going to accomplish these things, we have to lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. And we do, as newborn babes, need to desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You know, if you look at that, he doesn't say that we're all babies in Christ. He says, by the way, think of it this way. Mature Christian, as a newborn babe, still desire the sincere milk of the word. That's how I see it. Because that word as has that connotation. If you think about it, he's not just saying, hey, baby in Christ, make sure you desire the milk of the word. By the way, I don't have to tell Greta that she needs to desire the milk. She already desires it. She's a baby. But you know what? You have to tell a toddler or a young child or a teenager or maybe an adult, hey, don't forget about the milk. Because you know what? As soon as I discovered Kool-Aid and soda, I forgot about the milk. Well, actually, one of my favorite drinks to go back to is grape juice. I love grape juice. I would rather drink a glass of grape juice than I would drink a glass of milk. I mean, I could let a glass of milk just sit around till it turns to cheese. I mean, but we still need milk. Actually, I like to get my milk in the form of cheese. That's better. I like cheese. don't forget about the milk. Because what are we supposed to continue to do, even as mature Christians? Grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. By the way, he says, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. This is kind of how I want to close things out. And I want you to listen to what Peter says. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And that's how it needs to be with us. We need to fight the good fight. We need to do the things that we as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we need to endure hardness, we need to put on the whole armor of God,
We need to keep growing. We need to keep fighting. We need to keep being aware of the devices of the devil and of this world. And we can't let down. We've got to continue to beware. We've got to continue to grow. We've got to continue to bring glory to God, both now and forever. We just can't quit. We just can't quit. And if I can borrow a phrase, and so much the more. Because we do see the day approaching. It's at hand, folks. I don't know when. Don't need to know when. Just need to know I don't need to quit. Just need to know I don't need to let down. Just need to know that the things that I've known from before, I've got to beware lest somebody sink my ship. Cause me to shipwreck before my time is up. And I've got to watch out. Walk circumspectly. Resist the devil. Keep all these things in mind as we get nearer and nearer to the end. Don't give up.